Let's go to Job 25. Start in verse 24, verse 17. It's just talking about men groaning from out of the city. And the soul of the wounded crieth out, yet God layeth not folly to them. They're not crying out for prayer. They're not crying out to God. They're mourning for their own condition. And yet, and it says, and yet God layeth not this folly to them. In other words, he doesn't destroy them for their impudence. They are those that rebel against the light. And this is your condition when you are shame-based, when you are walking in shame. Men groan in the city for their own condition. The soul of the wounded crieth out. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the path thereof. The murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is a thief. You despise the person that is shame-based, cannot stand to be around anyone that is needy. They can give money, but they can't be around a needy person because, so they spiritually, they murder them. Take them out of their sight. And in the night is a thief. And you're a thief because you rob other men's accomplishments or other men's positions. Or you rob from tomorrow to give you enough sustenance to make it through the night. Somebody know what I'm talking about a little bit? Anybody know what I'm talking about? The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me. Let's wait till it gets dark. Let's wait till there's only gray. There's no clarity. A shame-based person loves the gray. Understand why? You love gray. You love not to be challenged because in gray you can hide. But you're afraid of dark. So you only live in twilight. You know, in the desert, there's absolutely no twilight. It goes from light to dark. Boom. You know why? Because there's no moisture in the air. There's no humidity. And the humidity is the judgment is what gives the illusion of twilight. Things aren't black and white because you can blame it on somebody else. But in the desert, where there's no humidity in the air, there's no judgment in the air, everything is black and white. No judgment, no twilight. So here the soul longs for the twilight because they're afraid of the darkness and they can't stand the light. Somebody understand that? The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me. And disguiseth his face. And in the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. for the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one knows them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. Terror of being shamed is awesome, but it's also stupid. He is swift as the waters, their portion is cursed in the earth. He beholdeth not the way of the vineyards, drought and heat consume the snow waters, so doth the grave those which have sinned. The womb shall forget him. The worm shall feed sweetly on him. He shall be no more remembered, and wickedness shall be broken as a tree. He evil entreateth the barren that beareth not, and doeth not good to the widow. He draweth also the mighty with his power. He raiseth up, and no man is sure of life, though it be given him to be in safety wherein he resteth, yet his eyes are upon their ways. They are exalted for a little while, but are gone and brought low. They are taken out of the way as all other, and cut off as the tops of the ears of corn. And if it be not so now, who will make me a liar and make my speech worth nothing? Then answered Bildad the Shuhite, and said, dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies? And upon whom doth not his light arise? How then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of woman? But even to the moon, and it shineth, behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and a son of man, which is a worm? Still, I remember once, a long time ago, I heard this song that had something about the Son of Man being a worm in it. This is before I was a believer. It had this line, the Son of Man, the worm. And it bothered me. It just tremendously bothered me. For how could this... I knew enough about religion to know that the Son of Man was talking about Messiah. But how could the Holy Scriptures call Messiah a worm? And here, do we have any idea of what he experienced? Do we have any idea of the... We can only touch, in our own shame-based positions, our little thing. I mean, our little, you know, we feel like we're a little bit flawed, or we're flawed because we think we should be something else. But here... Well, let's look at Psalm 22 again. We studied a little bit on Sunday, but I am now convinced that before I was a believer, I was totally shame-based. And it explains to me a whole lot of my life and my style of life. I had to get some response out of, I didn't necessarily have to take them all to bed, But I had to get some response over out of every beautiful woman I met. I had to get some acknowledgement of my worth. So I flirted constantly. I did all the little tricks to try to get any kind of response at all. And I now see that all I was doing was manipulating someone else so that some other person, some other worm, could acknowledge that I had, by some glance, could acknowledge that I had worth. I now know it's what drove me to make money or to do anything, because I believed that I was not good enough. I was flawed. I couldn't be improved. There was no solution except to be a totally different person. Unfortunately, something happened. I mean, I can remember distinctly that there was a transference, there was a change. Relatively soon after I became a believer, I can't remember the exact times. I'm not saying I became a good boy, but I'm saying that I recognized all of a sudden that I no longer needed anyone's affirmation of me. That was a huge deal. I see it in here. I see it all over the block, where we don't treat, there's always, in many instances there, even in the acknowledgement of each other, of other people that are in the body, there's a sexual twist to it. There's a slight turning of it so that their response to you gives you sustenance. Somebody know what I'm talking about?
Yep, exactly.
What brought this to mind 2 or 3 days ago was I was watching a response to several of the Levites. And I wanted, it broke my heart because I wanted to cry out to you, you don't need to do that anymore. You don't need somebody's response to you. Christ has covered our shame. We have become a new person. We have been born again. The solution is total. Shame is covered forever.